Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our worship service here at Kemp, First United Methodist Church of Kemp, and those of you joining us online from Becker and abroad, we thank you and glad to have you with us. This is our 11 o'clock service. Hopefully in a few weeks we'll be able to reopen at Becker, and then we'll be able to have our 9:30 and our 11 o'clock normal, but I'll probably still only video and do the live stream from the 11 o'clock. Just to keep it easy on myself with equipment and all that. So, but good to have you with us. A couple of quick announcements. I have been terrible at keeping note of the youth Bible study, but I added a little reminder to my phone. So hopefully that will work, and we have so no matter where I'm at, I can just start the conference, and we can, you know, the Zoom call, and you guys can have that meeting or meet with each other. We are still meeting for Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 for now. Not sure how long we'll have to keep just doing the one meeting, but as long as we are, everybody is welcome. If you'd just like to join with us, let us know via my email, pastordavid@att.net, and I'll send you the invite. Other than that, there are some birthdays here to recognize. A couple of them were on there last week. They've just passed, actually. Cody Scott and Russell Taylor. Happy birthday to you both. Chuck Riley's is coming up on the 25th, which is, what, Tuesday? Tuesday. So if you know Chuck, and most of us do, we should wear him out on Tuesday. That's my opinion. It is just an opinion. So he is a good guy, and wish him happy birthday on his birthday, which will be Tuesday the 25th. Let him know all about what he means to you. And any announcements or follow-up from our efforts to school supply it or anything? Okay, so we will have a quick meeting for school supplies. If you want to be here or be involved, you have about an hour, 45 minutes to get up here, about 45 minutes. So, but other than that, it's just a quick decision making how we're going to handle the school supplies for our local school district. Anything else before we get started? Anybody online have an announcement? Just put it in the comments. My wife will read it out. Okay. Well then, let's begin our worship service this morning. If you will stand as you are able and join us in our centering words, and then join me in our call to worship, we will begin our worship service this morning. Seek the living God who rescues and saves us in times of trial. Seek the living God who renews, transforms, and strengthens us in our hour of need. We step off the streets, away from places of work, shopping malls, billboards, and news broadcasts, and stand before the living God. Our help is in the name of the living God, maker of heaven and earth. We turn away from the world and the patterns of power that too often hurt, trap, and swallow us up. We stand before our helper, the God of mercy, who rescues and renews us. We come to this sanctuary seeking the living God, maker of heaven and earth. We give ourselves to the living God, who is compassionate and merciful as living and pleasing sacrifice. You may be seated. Our Old Testament lesson comes from Exodus chapter 1, verses 8 through chapter 2, verse 10. That is on page 68 of my Bible. Not sure about yours, but chapter 1, starting with verse 8, and we will go through 2, verse 10. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Sifra and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?" The midwives said to The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every boy that is born to the Hebrews, you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. While her attendants walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God indeed. And if you'll stand for our opening prayer as you're able. Maker of heaven and earth, we come from different places with our own place on the journey. Some of us have succeeded and found favor. Some of us have failed and seek reassurance. Some of us feel trapped and helpless. Some of us have escaped peril and feel great relief. But no matter what our experience has been, we have here today to meet you in worship. Remind us of your power and mercy. Replenish our courage and vision. Renew our identity as your people. Reinvigorate our holy work in this world. For our help is in your name alone, Holy God, Maker of heaven and earth. Amen. In our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed, please join me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And our Gloria Patri.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
seated. Our epistle reading comes from Romans 12, verses 1 through 8. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, that is on page 1381 of my Bible, if you'd like to follow along. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God, indeed. And we come to our time of our children's message, and my wife Kim will come up and share.
Hello. Today I wanted to talk to everyone about a really fun word that we all love, and this word is discipline. It's our favorite word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys might have heard about it, like, if you're in trouble and you have to be disciplined. But there's another way to talk about discipline, and that's about focus and intention and, you know, just being really in charge of your time and your thoughts. So, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but some people have pets like a dog that is so disciplined that if you put a treat on his nose, he won't eat it until you say. That's really got to be challenging for a dog. I don't know if we could ever teach my dog this, because he's not disciplined about treats. But I don't know if you've seen this. It's really cool. They put the treat on their nose and they sit there and wait and look and wait until their parents, their human, says, okay, and then they go to town and eat the treat. So that's a really strong way to show discipline. And you know, this week Mia has started school, virtual school, and I've really thought about her discipline and that. You know, there's no teacher watching if she gets her paper out, if she's focusing. There's no teacher saying it's time for class now. There's no teacher saying, you know, hey, look up and pay attention, or, you know, watching and make sure you're doing everything. It's on you guys now in the virtual world to kind of be disciplined in your school and to say, you know, it's time for class now. I need to sit down and do this. And when the teacher says log off and do your assignment, it's on you to log off and do your assignment or whatever you're supposed to do at that time. And so this is also true in your faith, believe it or not. And being disciplined is really important. God gave us free will so that we can have our own thoughts and minds. But it's also important for us, it's on us now to say, you know what, I need to pray. You know what, I need to read the Bible. Or you know what, I need to help someone today or write them an encouraging note or give them a call. And it's kind of on us sometimes to say, you know what? I need to make the decision to be disciplined about my faith, just like I am with school, just like that dog would be with the treat. But to help us remember that, let's say a prayer.
Dear God, we thank you for the opportunity to think for ourselves and
to show and grow through your help and just to be what you want us to be.
We ask this week that you help us to focus our minds so that we can be disciplined in life and in faith and in love, to focus on the things that are important to you, and to help our minds be clear of everything that's not. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Miss Kim. As she returns to her seat, we'll get our next passage out. It's our message today will be based on the scripture of Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. Hear the word. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples, "Do not tell anyone that he was the Messiah." The word of God for the people of God. As I was reading the text this week and trying to figure out what to say and how to say it, I got hung up on this one verse, and it is, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Although, for us that are Christians, it probably sounds a little better if we use the NIV translation. It says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I'm adding some emphasis there. Actually, the way it was written in our passage, it's almost just more of a statement of fact. Almost nonchalant, if it wasn't such a profound statement, that is. And it seems to be the case, as it has seems to be, and it continues to be, that Peter is the one who, or Simon Peter, is the one who's credited for responding for the disciples. As in the boat, while Jesus was walking to them on the sea, it was Peter who responded, if it is you, Lord, call me and I will come. And so Jesus responds with come, and Peter gets out of the boat. And so Peter continues to become this kind of a lead figure among the disciples, or he's given credit for this leadership role among the disciples. And here he responds to Jesus's question. And we're not really surprised that it is Peter, right? But here is his response. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it just rolls right off his tongue. Like there's no hesitation. When Jesus turns that question to him, And Jesus wants Peter to answer, or the disciples to answer for themselves, who they think Jesus is, it's natural to Peter to say that. And then, of course, we see, you know, that Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." And so, you know, Peter's correct response brings on this affirmation from Christ about being correct, right? To understanding, his understanding is correct of who Jesus is. And for us, it should be the same, right? It not the just rolling of the thought of it rolling off our tongue so naturally and easily, but that really at the heart of that statement that Peter's making, it's his belief in who Jesus is. And we too should have that same belief today. We should feel that same belief that it is Christ, and that Christ is the Son of the living God, right? That when we have that relationship with Jesus, we understand who he really is. When we wake up in the morning, right, we can picture that scene with Jesus and his disciples sitting there, and we're one of those disciples among them, and Jesus is asking them, "Yeah, you know, so who all these other people think that I am?" And I say other people, those that are, you know, around but not really connected and committed to that relationship. As a disciple, we're now connected and committed to that relationship, right? So we have this other thought of maybe who the others might be. Those people in our mission field that Christ gives to us each day and each week, each opportunity we have to share our faith with them, right? Those are the others that we're trying to figure out what they might think about who the Son of Man is and what it means to them. I don't know if we would get the answers, but we hear them called out in our scripture today, John the Baptist or Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Today it may not be those same names that they call to, right, or call out. They may be more of a, I have no clue who the Son of Man is. And that's unfortunate, but that may be more true, a more true statement of the state of our nation and our world about their relationship with who God is, right, the living God, that is. And it's important for us to think about that phrase, the way he words it, right? Peter uses the word the living God, Son of the living God. And it's important because of where they are, right? Where they are is in Caesarea Philippi, and that's historically this kind of epicenter of, well, right now it's currently under the Roman Catholic rule, and there's this paganism there, right, that they don't know who God is. They don't understand who the God of the Hebrews is. They have all these other, you know, mythological gods set up around there in that area, more than likely. And so when he designates the living God, it's because he's speaking about that God of Israel. And it's an important factor for us to understand why that's there like that, why it's written like that. But all that to say, when we're there in that moment in the morning of our wake up, when we wake up in the morning and we see that scene playing out before us, when we see Christ then turned the question to us, but who do you say that I am? Honestly, if the answer doesn't roll off your tongue immediately and it is not immediately true for you, I wonder, would we say it at all? Would we be able to answer Christ? And the question I have here is, do you say it and claim it in every opportunity each day? Well, we should be doing that, right? As Christians, as disciples of Christ, we should be looking for every opportunity to claim that affirmation of who Christ is to us and who Christ is for the world. And we should be saying it in the actions that we are taking, in our response that we have, that we are responding as people who believe that you are the Christ, Son of the living God, that we could answer Christ in that way. Now, I know as we were talking before we got online, and as you know from last week, at least if you were listening, you know, we made preparations this week to move Connor off into college, right, into the dorms. And we took care of that on Friday, and he's officially there living, and at least he was living Friday night, and I didn't talk to him yesterday or this morning, but I assume he's still living there on campus. And the point of this is we make these big deals out of these milestones, don't we? When our children start grade school, for that matter, when their first day, even pre-K, right? Or that kind of thought where, oh my gosh, they're taking their first steps. They're saying their first words. These little milestones as our children develop and as they grow, we make a big deal out of these things. All the way through where they're going into school, they're advancing to middle school or high school or graduating high school. Someday, for us, we'll have the realization of Connor graduating from college. Some of you have already experienced that as parents. But it's important to take a minute, right, when we recognize the significances of these events. But it's more of that these life events, it's more about that it's just a life event, rather. It's more about marking time, right? It's more about marking their space or place in education system or where they've gone to so far or through so far. It's more than that. It's more than making us remember how old they are. When we take time to think about those significant life events, we do more than just mark time, right? We also want to mark the changes in the relationships that we have with those children, right? With those young ones in our lives. As parents, as his parents, for us, Kim and I, we're no longer in that supervisory role of his day-to-day. Kim alluded to it in the children's message. We no longer have the responsibility of waking him up in the morning, which is probably a huge relief on our part, but we're no longer responsible for that, right? We're no longer responsible for making sure he gets in the shower and brushes his teeth and gets ready to go to class, whether that's online or or you know, in person, however that may be, we're no longer responsible for his day-to-day schedule. The things that he is now going to take care of, that he is going to manage in his life, we're not there for that. We're not there to keep his calendar. As the my calendar keeper is sitting on the front row here, and she does a great job for our family. But she's not going to keep Connor's calendar, at least not for the next few years, while he makes some decisions for himself, right? While he gets this opportunity to kind of really be in this moment where he is going to have this opportunity to answer that question for himself. The reality, the question we've been asking, right, that Jesus has been asking us, right? Who do you say that I am? The reality of that question, when I talk about my son Connor, he's been asked that question for quite some time. Same with my daughter, same with Callie in the back there. The younger children are already being asked that question. They're already being asked to answer that question on their own. Christ is talking to them directly as Christ talks to us. They're responding directly as we respond directly. They have their own relationship. And that's the realization of what this really means for us. Because all the things that Connor's doing, or my child Mia is going to be doing this year with regard to her online school, her in-person school, when all those things come to pass, regardless of what I feel she should be doing or he should be doing, regardless of what expectation I put upon them, the reality and my hope is that they understand that it's up to them to respond as Christ would call them to do, right? It's up to them to respond in those moments of their day, as Kim was saying, you know, when it's time for Mia to be online, we've been letting her manage that. So far, I haven't gotten any calls that she's missing a lot of school, not logging in and taking care of business, so that's good. It's one weekend, and she's doing a great job. Connor, same. You know, he's now starting, and we haven't gotten any phone calls from the university that he's been a problem up there, so that's good news, too, right? No news is good news in our house. And these things that these children of ours are doing and your children are doing, the same is true for us too, right? We're only responsible for what we can control. And as we go through life, and as I was talking about, just as Kim and I have to answer for ourselves, now so do our children, when Jesus asks, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? Our response should be, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is the answer that should roll right off our tongues, just as it did for Peter back then, just as it did for those disciples, those early disciples, then it should be true for us. So when we're stuck in traffic, and yes, that still happens, even during a pandemic, people have to be where they need to be for some reason, and there's fender benders, and you're 40 deep in traffic before you know it. And the next thing you know, we need to be courteous and considerate of those folks who need to get somewhere, don't we? And our response should be just as Christ is calling us. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It should be in the actions of how we treat one another. When we are at the grocery store, and I know this is a pet peeve of mine because I was at the grocery store yesterday, and I'm going to have to be honest here because I always try to be honest, but that's just a saying we have. When people crash into my 6-foot radius diameter of what I think should be my social distancing safe space, yeah, I tend to get a little upset. And then I realized I did that twice to somebody, some other people. And I was like, you know what? Let's stop pointing the finger a little bit, David, and then start thinking about what it means to be Christ in this moment, right? How can I respond as Christ is asking the disciples about who do I say he is? And if I'm not believing that he is the Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, and that he is the Son of the living God, when I point the finger and I choose that judgmental attitude towards somebody else, I am just as guilty as anybody else of not responding as we should. Yes, our response again should reflect that of Peter, right? That of those early disciples. It is imperative that we not only say it, but we believe it, and that we also live it out. That we live it out in the world, right? Verse 20, I want to touch on that real quick. It's not about keeping a secret, right? Rather, it is about affirming that as members of the body of Christ, we get it. We get the answer, right? We have the true knowledge of who Jesus is. And we should be prepared to live as those people, as people that know, not only know, excuse me, that have that knowledge, right? But also believe it to be true. That is what should make you and I different from the others, right? From the rest of the world. That we are the one thing that actually we truly have in common is the fact that our knowledge of who we say that Jesus is. Our response is, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So this week, as we're going about doing the things that we have to do, have to accomplish on our to-do list, and to-do lists are very big players in our household these days. They come and go, but right now it's hardcore. We have so many things, getting Connor ready to go, getting ready for Mia's upcoming schedules, getting ready for our own upcoming schedules. There's a lot of little things that we're all trying to take care of. And I'll be honest, there's several things that have made my list all 3 weeks. I apologize for that, Kim, but I'm working on it. Several things get removed from the list, but as we're out there doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, the things that we need to accomplish, I want us to be sure that we are also responding as those early disciples. That we are affirming our belief in Jesus as the Christ. That we are living out that belief when we say, you're the Son of the living God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our time of pastoral prayer is here and upon us. And here we go. And I sent out the updated list of the names and the different events. Families impacted by the Iowa storms. The family of Neva Tharp. Those were ones that I had missed last week. I got them added. One more I'd like to add as well is my mother-in-law, Susan. She is going to have a procedure this week, so we just want to lift her up and ask that you pray for her. I think it's on Wednesday this week, so if you could remember to pray for my mother-in-law, Susan. I think she's a little nervous, but I think I'll be fine, you know. So I just pray that it does turn out that way. So if you could do that. Any other joys or concerns we'd like to lift up? Oh, one joy also I forgot to mention earlier. We did get good news on Friday. So that was, I talked to him Friday night. He called us late. Connor found out about his seating or what choirs he'll be participating in at Commerce, and he'll be in the chamber and the chorale. And I think he said those are like the ones he really wanted to be a part of. So congratulations, Connor. We're excited for you. And he will have that opportunity to hopefully perform with those choirs that he's now a part of. It just depends on how they figure out how they can rehearse together first, I think. But they have a plan, far beyond my knowledge. So any other joys or concerns we'd like to lift up? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we say thank you. I want us to start with thank you, because many times it's so hard to remember to say thank you when it's good, bad, or indifference of the times that we're experiencing. But Lord, we are so thankful. We're so grateful for the relationship we have with your Son. The fact that the actions that you took on the cross through him allow us to have this opportunity to speak to you directly. It is no small thing, and we recognize that. We want to say thank you for that. We want to say thank you for all the other things, too, all the little things that we take for granted, the weather, the daylight, the electricity being on here, right? All those little conveniences of life, Lord, we want to say thank you for them as well. Lord, we also want to thank you for the hard times, though. We know it's as we grow through and mature through those hard times, that those times are the ways that we can continue to grow in our likeness of you, that we can be polished, that we can be honed, that we can be prepared for life to come. And we thank you for those opportunities as well. Father, we lift up the concerns that we have this week. We lift them up and ask that you just guide the hands of the doctors that will be performing procedures for family, loved ones. We ask that the names that have been lifted up and the people who have been lifted up, those families who've lost loved ones, those who are not feeling well, Father, we just lift them up and ask that you provide what is needed, that comfort, that peace. Father, we know that you know exactly what we need even before we speak it, and we try to do the best we can to be faithful in asking. But Father, there are times when we just don't have the words. And all those unspoken requests out there, Lord, we lift those up to you, especially this week as well. Father, we ask all these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our time of tithes and offerings is here, and if you are with us, you could put your offering in the back, in the plate as you came in. I hope you dropped it in. Those of you online, listening online, for Becker, UMC, please send in your giving to P.O. Box 92 at Kemp, Texas, 75143. That's P.O. Box 92, Kemp, Texas, 75143 for Becker United Methodist Church. And those of you for First United Methodist Church that are listening online as well, here in Kemp, you want to send that to P.O. Box 327, and the zip for there is still the same, 75143, but P.O. Box 327 for First UMC Kemp. If you accidentally send it to the wrong P.O. Box, I promise we'll get it squared away and straightened out. We can figure it out. And then also, if you want to just give online for First UMC Kemp, it is fumckemp@gmail.com. Okay? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Ask God to come into our lives and with our regard to our finances. Father, we just come to you today again thanking you for all that you do. Father, we ask you to be a part of so many things and so many pieces and parts of who we are. Lord, we also ask here in this time that you be a part of our finances, that you be a part of what we give, that you continue to bless us as you have so abundantly. But Lord, help us to be good stewards of that blessing. Help us to return what you have for us to be returned. That small portion of the gifts you have given to us, that they may be multiplied, Lord, for your great works. Not just here locally, Lord, but beyond. And we know that in this world, in this pandemic world right now, there are people all over who are hurting, who are in need. And Lord, I just ask that if there's any way our local giving can be a blessing to those abroad, that you make that happen. Father, we know that when we ask, it's as good as done. So Lord, we just faithfully ask, and we just look for your faithful response in all these things. Amen.
Would you stand for our doxology?
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You may be seated, right? Seating time? Oh, no, it's please stand time. I'm sorry. It is singing time. Our one singing of the day is going to be The Church is One Foundation. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5. We'll sing three of the five. One, two, and five. The church's one foundation is on the back page of your, or the page three of your bulletin, or if you're like me and carry your own hymnal, then you can just turn to page 445. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses her grace endued. Yet she on earth hath union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. O happy ones and holy, God bless us grace that we, like them the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with thee. Amen. And our benediction. No matter how the world has treated us, whether we are powerful or powerless, God renews our vision and energy, calling us to works of transformation by reflecting God's love and justice. With God's power, we will stand against the powers of destruction in our world. With God's wisdom, let us resist the seductive forces that lead us to shut down and give in. With God's eye on the powerless, we will cry out on behalf of those caught in the teeth of their enemies. With God's mercy, let us pull to safety those caught in the raging waters. With God's justice, we will stand with those who are enslaved and beaten down. For it is none other than Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, who has built the church, and the gates of the underworld will never conquer God and God's church. Amen and amen. And amen. Thank you for coming out. I hope you have a wonderful week.